Father, we thank you that your word can be relied upon, and we just pray for that word in our hearts today, that you would speak to us and encourage us and bring us the blessing of the solid foundation that your word brings. And I pray that you would open our ears to hear what you have to say for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're starting on the book of Romans today. Romans is it's kind of like the book in the New Testament, the most comprehensive overview of the story of Jesus as laid out by Paul when he had a chance to write out. I was once asked, when I was working at BHP, by a bloke who suddenly had this revelation that he should be following God, and he said, I know you're a Christian, can you tell me everything you know? Can you imagine Paul saying, right, I'm going to tell them everything I know in careful order? And so we want Romans 1:16. And okay, and so he carefully argued. Now, this is about 57 AD, they think Paul wrote this. So he's been a Christian for about 25 or 30 years now. So it's been around for a while, and he's sharing the heart of the good news to a church in Rome where he hasn't been, and no one really knows how the church in Rome began, except for one hint could be, on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, when there were people from all over the world, it says there were people from Rome there, Jews and those who were converted to Judaism. They had come to celebrate Pentecost. So maybe they took the church home with them. They took Jesus home with them. Okay. But Paul speaks, he is eager, he says, to preach the gospel to those who are in Rome. He can't wait to tell the Christians there what he knows about Jesus. Okay. Now, we're not actually starting at verse 1, which sounds funny. We'll go back to that next week. Because what we're doing, we're starting at verse 16, and there's a reason for that. Have you ever got a letter or an email or something, and you go, well, what's this about? And you scroll down, and you get to that third paragraph, and this is the guts of it. This is what the person's writing about. You know, they have a few fancy bits at the start. And you read that and then you go, I want to read this. And then you go back to start and you read it again. Well, most people agree that what's written in verses 16 and 17 is what Paul's on about for the whole letter. This is the guts of the book of Romans in two verses. So you could read these two verses and not have to read the rest of the book. No, don't do that. That's just a joke. Okay, so that's why we're starting there. So he says this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, or that is from faith to faith. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now, Paul starts by saying he's not ashamed of the gospel. He's not ashamed to proclaim the message of Jesus to Christians, or in this case, or to non-Christians. And it begs the question, why would anyone be ashamed of the gospel? Why would anyone be ashamed of the gospel? Because, actually, there's a reason for that. The gospel message brings a constant confrontation of the grace and the power of God to the sinfulness and the weakness of human beings. It's a confronting message, particularly for the pride of Christians and non-Christians. It confronts our pride, okay? It points us to the fact that we are totally and always continuing to rely on God for everything. Yeah? So, in one sense, it is the great destroyer of all human-made glory, because it speaks of the glory of God as everything. So why would anyone be ashamed of the gospel? because people are annoyed about the message of the gospel within the church and without the church, outside and inside, because it never gives the wisdom and the power and the ability to humans. It keeps us totally reliant on God. It is from faith, from first to last. It is from faith to faith. We always live by faith, which is how we finish. The righteous shall live by faith. Now, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of this gospel, and I'm not afraid to preach it. I'm not ashamed of it, so I'm going to keep saying it. And in fact, if you read all of his letters, you would say the heart and nearly all the content in all of Paul's letters is about the gospel. Oh, and Peter's, right, and John's. They are always only on about the gospel. Okay? The primary subject of the New Testament is God the Father, what he's done for us through Jesus, his Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the primary message. Now, did you hear that? The primary message of the New Testament is not about Derek. It's not about humanity. We're caught up in what God's doing, but it's not us primary or first. Do you get that? And I'm not ashamed, says Paul, to proclaim this message, because Christians need his wisdom and power in every part of their life. Okay. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Only the gospel is the power of God. Now, we're going to talk about at the end how that might work out. So that doesn't mean go to sleep and then wake up for that bit. But the power of the Holy Spirit that's released is released through the gospel. It's not released so that we can be powerful in our own right, because it's not about us. Because the righteous will live by faith. It is living in what, and learning to live in what he has done for us, what he has given for us, and what he continues to give to us. Now, I don't know if you remember, some years ago in our church, we had this sort of understanding of giving that we need, as Christians, new manna every morning. I don't know if you remember that. You've got to keep getting new manna. Get new manna. Read the Bible, find out this wonderful new revelation of God every day. And we all were really drawn into that and excited by it for about 4 years, until my friend Levi, who you know and some of you are related to, pointed out, and I won't use the words he uses, but he said, you know, the heart of that's a load of rubbish. And I'm like, what? It sounds so right. He said, yes, we need new manna every morning, but we need the same manna, is what he's saying. Right? Go on, Levi. And he said, when they're in the desert, they collected manna every day, and they collected the same manna, didn't they? It was the same manna. It was miraculously given to them, and they needed that manna every day to rely on. Okay? They also received water from a rock. Water doesn't come out of rocks. Do you know that? Now, just I know I've said this before, but they received the equivalent, this is the people of God, 1 million people in the desert who had no food, of 43 semi-loads of manna every day for 40 years. And out of that rock came probably about 10 million litres of water per day for 40 years. That's a lot of water and a lot of manna. True? Okay. They needed God's provision every day, and they couldn't do without it. But what Levi said is this: that manna is the bread of life, and that bread of life is Jesus. We need new manna every morning, but it's always the same. We need Jesus every day. He's also the living water, isn't he? Every day we need a new revelation of the gospel, of who Jesus is, of what he's done for us. We don't actually move on to bigger and greater things, because often when we think about bigger and greater things, we're talking about, okay, we move from the glory of God to the glory of us. Okay. The gospel addresses our deepest and greatest needs every day. And it is, and Paul says it's the power of salvation, it's the power to be saved, but it's also the power to live in that salvation, to work out the gospel, as Paul says, with fear and trembling. In other words, look at this gospel and work out how it works into your life. And again, I'll talk about that a bit more in a minute. But Paul says, this is the gospel for the Jews, that's for God's people, as called in the Old Testament, God's chosen race, and for the Gentiles, which means people from the rest of the world, including Australia. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Now, can you hear this from? It's a big from. The gospel shows us a righteousness from God. Not from ourselves. A goodness which comes to God. Comes to us from God. The gospel that takes away our sins, but gives us a righteousness that is never our own. It is always Jesus, and our lives are hidden in Christ with God. In God with Christ. We sinned and fell short of the glory of God, and through Jesus he gave us righteousness when we were sinners. And every day we sin and fall short of the glory of God, and every day we live in the continued gift of his righteousness. Can you see that? We live from faith to faith. We live by faith, we are saved by faith, we live by faith. In what he's done. Every day, the righteous shall live by faith. Every day when you get up in the morning, you are going to have life in Christ through faith in what he's done. Now, almost every human being on earth, we're talking about righteousness or goodness, every human being actually thinks they're pretty good. If you talked about people, they would say something like, I have a few failings, a few shortcomings, but in general, I've got a good heart. I'm a good person. Is that right? People say that. And if you ask the average non-Christian today what the message of Christianity is, they would say something like, it's be good. Be good people. Now, there's a reason for that. And that's because that's what they hear from Christians. Christians are generally doing a couple of things. Complaining about how bad the world is. Have you noticed how sinful the world is lately? It's different than it's ever been before. No, it's always been sinful. And how bad all these evil people are. Because the thought is, if they could just be good, then they'd all be Christian. No, they wouldn't. Can you see that? Because how good is good? Is it when you do more good acts than you do bad acts? Or is it every day, you're a good person if every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better? Is that good? Is good if you just at least do something good each day? How good is good? Now, the heart of Christianity is a righteousness that comes from God through Jesus. And this comes by faith, from beginning to end. So the only way we can ever be good or righteous is by faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So why do we tell non-Christians to be good? Because sometimes Christians hold marches and they hold up placards. I don't know what some of those placards say. But are we trying to change them? And when our kids have problems or bad habits or they're doing things they shouldn't be doing, if only they would stop, well, maybe they'd be good Christians then. Is that right? You know, if they stop, they'd be no better off because they need a righteousness that comes from God through faith, through Jesus Christ. You see, if our nation, just say, had a real turnaround and they just suddenly decided to get moral and the government made new laws on abortion and euthanasia and prostitution and adultery and homosexuality and gambling and greed, they would be no closer to being Christian. Do you understand that? No closer to being Christian. Because be good is not the message of Christianity. And we shouldn't speak like that. You see, we're the ones, the church is the ones who's given this wrong understanding of Christianity to the world. Have you seen people protest march, holding up their signs? Euthanasia is murder, right? Don't do euthanasia, ban euthanasia with a line through it, all that sort of stuff. Have you ever, and these are Christian people, have you ever seen them hold up a placard and say, all are sinners and fall short of the glory of God, but through faith in Christ you can be saved? They don't have that bit, do they? So we're trying to change the world by making them moral, by making them good and obey our rules. So that's why people think that Christianity is just about be good. If we don't proclaim Jesus and the righteousness that comes from him, well, it's probably because we're ashamed of the gospel. Because it annoys people. You see, in Romans 3, Paul says, all have turned away. They have altogether become worthless. There is no one who does good, not one. No one of themselves will be righteous. It only comes to us through, now, there's this word theologians use, it's imputed righteousness. It's where you take something which wasn't there before and you put it in, you impute it. There was no righteousness, there was no goodness in me, and through faith, when I trusted in Jesus, God took a truckload of righteousness and he poured it into me and I was righteous. Okay? That's imputed righteousness. God took something which didn't exist in you, and you know, when David says, create in me a clean heart, that word create is the word bara, which means nothing to you except for this. It means this, created out of nothing. When God created the world, he created out of nothing. There was nothing there and he put together the world. Well, when we say, create in me a clean heart, God's got nothing to start with. He has to put in a clean heart. He has to give us the righteousness of Christ. It's a completely new thing. And so, every day we live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. We've been given this righteousness and we go on from faith to faith, continually receiving new manna, which is the old manna, which is the same manna, which is Jesus. And we grow in faith. We live in the gospel. So let's just, if we look at our marriages, if you're married, friendships, if you're not married, it gets hard. And we go, well, if we live in light of the gospel, we go, what do you expect? I'm married to a sinner. Or what do you expect? All my friends are sinners. Or if we live without the gospel, well, then we have to change our husband, our wife, and our friends. How does that go for you? How many people are good at changing? Do you ever want to change your husband or your wife or your friends? Just hold up a placard. That'll do. Wife, become better behaved in the kitchen. See how that works out for you? Okay, but when you know the message of the gospel, rather than having expectations and trying to change them, when there are issues, you can talk about Jesus and the wonderful salvation he's brought and the righteousness that comes from him. And that's life-giving. Yeah? Or if your children are always troublesome, and I can tell you, all children are always troublesome because they're sinners. Yeah? So rather than stressing out when they don't behave like they should, firstly, we teach them the gospel as well as teaching them good behaviour. I know I've said this before, but we used to teach our kids we used to make up stories about a fictitious girl called the Good Girl, and she, we'd tell the story, which sounded a lot like what happened to our daughters that day, and the Good Girl was always doing bad things, and we'd finish the story all the time by saying, so why was the Good Girl good? Well, the Good Girl was good because she trusted in Jesus, not because she did good things. How do you be good? Well, you trust in Jesus. So what we can do then is teach our children, yes, it's right to teach children good behaviour, but we teach them that the only righteousness and goodness they'll ever have is through Christ, rather than just trying to give them wisdom about how to be good. We tell them about Jesus. And you know what? When you know that you live by faith, when you're living by yourself, you tell them because you can change them. When you don't, you pray. Pray for your children. Pray that they receive him, not just that they drop some of their bad habits. In sickness, it was interesting. It was good to have Zung up the front this morning because she was the only one who didn't get prayed for sickness. So it's good to have someone who's not sick, isn't it? Thank you, Zung. In sickness, and we in life will face always types of sickness. We will. There's that, whether it's physical or mental or well, you could say spiritual sickness. But we will always face these things. We, the just shall live by faith. We trust God in what's going on. And we don't think naturally, well, is it? I must have done something wrong. That's natural. Why is this bad stuff happening to me? I must have done something wrong. You've done plenty wrong. But if you got judged according to what you've done wrong, you'd be, lightning would be hitting you 2,000 times a day. That's not how it works. God does not treat us as our sins deserve. So in sickness, we trust in God. And we know that somehow, in all things, his plans are working out. And living by faith, when a pandemic breaks out in this world, right, we don't have to fear, or we don't have to become people who say, it's not happening, it's a beat up. We are people who are confident in the resurrection. We trust God whatever happens. We don't know what will happen because we know he alone is Lord and our righteousness comes from him. So in our work and in our finances, in our all sorts of relationships, we look at how the gospel speaks to those things and we, the righteous, live by faith. Now, one thing you've got to be able to do is say this, okay? Have you trusted in Jesus? If your answer is yes, you are righteous. You need to be able to say, through Christ, I am righteous. Through myself, I'm not. Through Christ, I'm righteous. Can you say that? Right. Who does God listen to? The righteous. He answers the prayers of the righteous. Okay? But the only way that righteousness comes to you is by faith. So we pray, knowing that God listens to us only because of what Jesus has done, not because we say long blah, blah, blah prayers and we repeat ourselves 84 times. He listens to us. So, because the righteous shall live by faith. What I'm saying is this. Look at every aspect of your life. That's what Paul's saying when he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling and see not how can I become a better person? How can I be good in this? Look at how does the gospel speak to this? Because the righteous shall live by faith. How do I live by trusting God in that? Because when we live looking at that, we're not ashamed of the gospel ourselves. We're not ashamed to say everything good happens through you. Through our God and through Jesus Christ. I'll just read the passage again to finish with. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Father, I pray that you would teach us to work this beautiful gospel message into our lives in every part, that we would learn how your righteousness, your gift given to us, changes everything for us and changes our focus from ourselves to you, from our glory to your glory, from our works to your works, from our truth to your truth, that we might live in all of the fullness it is to live in Christ by faith and not the fullness of trying to create our own lordship and our own religious kingdoms. I pray that you would show us how to work the gospel into our family life, into our friendships, into our work, into every part of our days, that we might live by faith in the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.